motivators for was the fact that the colonists were being taxed without having a choice to plead their case. Taxation without representation. Yet what is increasingly forgotten is that the initial reason that these people left England was because they wanted the freedom to worship God in their own way. God was the driving force behind their actions. God was the center of their lives. And as God took the unarmed Israelites and simply had them march around the wall to bring down Jericho, as God took Gideon and 300 soldiers and defeated 100,000, as God took young David armed with a slingshot and defeated Goliath and routed the Philistine army, he also took a group of tattered, untrained, ill-equipped farmers and routed the best-trained, best-equipped, and largest army in the world at that time. At that time, we remembered what God had done, and we praised him everywhere. One nation under God, and in God we trust, became an interwoven part of this new nation's development, and we prospered. We were happy to trust, to be dependent on God. But as the years passed, much changed. Psalms 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Judah in the days of Jeremiah was a nation which had forgotten God. All through the scope of this prophecy, across the 40 years or more that Jeremiah ministered to this nation, we are watching a nation being turned into hell. Chaos spreading throughout the land, corruption widespread in government, morality constantly declining, evil infecting the people, the life of the nation gradually becoming more and more hellish, exactly in accordance with the prediction of the psalmist. Sound familiar? America has strayed far from where it started. And it doesn't take a historian to see the decline and the moral decay in our nation today. Yet, if we were to say things are worse now than they've ever been, I'm not sure we'd be right. Because if we just read, and if you read scripture very long, you will find some pretty messed up places. So what I want to say to you today is, the problem isn't the year or the culture. It's man's independence. And I like the song Jessica chose because that's going to line right up here, leaning on God. Everywhere we look today, people are screaming for independence. Kids don't want to obey their parents. Students don't want teachers telling them what's what. They want to decide for themselves. Citizens, they don't want to obey the laws. There should be no punishment for what they do. There's a tremendous push for freedom from even nature itself, and people want to choose what they are and how they want to behave. It all boils down to this: independence. I'm not talking about independence from tyranny. I am extremely grateful I live in America. I celebrate with every other red, white, and blue-blooded American when it comes to 4th of July. But when it comes to us as humans, we need to recognize that we are not independent. We are completely dependent on God. And if we try to be independent from Him, then it's going to be our downfall. And that's what we're seeing all over our country and in the world today. So while celebrating Independence Day is all well and good, and it's a good thing, completely being independent as people is directly opposed to Scripture. That's where we as a society went wrong. We declared independence from God Himself, and we see how that is tearing at the very thread of our moral fibers. I'm sure you're very familiar with the verse from 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." So while we celebrate America's 247th birthday this Tuesday, can we recognize that always being dependent on an almighty God and a gracious God who is in charge of all things is what we need to be doing as Christians? So maybe when we celebrate Independence Day this week, may it serve as a reminder that every day is Dependence Day. dependence on God. And Scripture is pretty clear on the subject. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without God, we can do nothing. Do you get that? And what's the common attitude in society today? I don't need anybody. I can do it myself. Or, I did it my way. And look what it's doing to people and where it is getting them. Do you realize that anything we are, whatever we do, any physical life and abilities that we may possess is only because of the grace of God? We are nothing without Him. Yet we forget this so quickly and think we deserve certain things, we're entitled to certain things. They are all blessings from an almighty God. So this morning, for a few minutes, I want to share 10, and there's way more, I just want to share 10 areas that we are dependent upon God. And maybe it will serve as a simple reminder of how much God does for us and how we really need to rely on Him daily. We are dependent on God for new life, salvation. As with many things in our lives, we take much for granted, and salvation is probably the biggest. If you've experienced the precious gift of salvation from Jesus Christ, then you know you have a blessing that makes any other blessing pale in comparison, and you are dependent on Him for that. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And with all areas of dependence that I'm going to share with you this morning, this one is the most important and the most vital to get. Sin enslaves so many, but through Jesus' blood we can be free. Galatians 5:1, stand therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. And I hope with all my heart everyone that's here, anyone that's hearing this, has experienced new life through Jesus Christ. And if you want that true freedom, then be dependent on God. And then we're dependent on the Lord for our guidance. There's much in America, this is where much of the people in America are getting it wrong. Don't tell me what to do. I'll do it the way I want to. How many of you tried to do things your own way in the past and you just found out it just doesn't work out the best? Proverbs 3:5-6, and we all know this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. I find out in my life, when the Holy Spirit guides me, it usually turns out for the better for me. He knows what I need to be doing better than I do. And one might ask, well, how do you let Him guide? Well, it's pretty simple, actually, and the primary source is His Word. Do a poll sometime. Just casually walk around. I'm not saying literally do it, but it would be interesting to try it. Go walk around and just ask people you meet, do you read the Bible? Do you study it? You probably wouldn't be surprised that most people will say no, or they might say yes just to make you happy. But do you know what you'll find surprising? And I can tell you this for certain. There are many, many people that call themselves Christians that do not study God's Word. And I'm telling you, I have met them and I've dealt with them, and I say, you need to get into God's Word. It's going to be pretty hard to follow the Lord's guidance if you're not reading His instruction manual. There are, of course, other ways the Spirit can guide, whether through preaching or teaching or other Christian friends, but the primary source is through His Word. Don't neglect studying it. Depend on Him to guide you with it. We depend on Him for safety from the enemy. Many people today do not give the proper respect and credit that Satan deserves. Hear me out, okay? He's often pictured as this cute little guy with a pitchfork and a forked tail that sits on someone's shoulder and makes them do bad things. Satan is real. Satan is powerful. Satan is very smart, and he knows each person and their weakness. And I say that not to paint Satan as an impossible enemy. He isn't. Scripture clearly tells us this, that Satan is a defeated foe. However, if we don't recognize our total dependence on God for our protection from Satan, we will lose. And I think as Christians, Satan's primary goal in our lives is to get us discouraged and quit. That's why we need to lean on God for protection from Satan. Psalms 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I tell you that knowing Jesus has my back and I can go running to him for safety from the enemy, that's comforting. So depend on him for protection from Satan. And then we depend on the Lord for strength when we are weak. And I'll tell you, I had to pray about this morning because I had to practice this. There are so many times, so many days that I realize I need to depend on God for my strength to get through the day. And today is one of those days. I had a very bad headache last night, felt quite miserable, and woke up with a headache. And I was like, I don't know if I can preach. I'm not feeling too bad right now. But I recognized this morning, okay, Lord, I'm preaching on dependence. So help me to depend on you today. We all go through dark days, and then looking back, you're like, wow, it's only through God that we got through that. One of my favorite scriptures from Isaiah 40:28-31, have you not known, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I've also learned that anything I accomplish, I can't take credit for, because it was obviously God giving me the strength to do it. Depend on him for your strength. And then we depend on God for life and each new day. People take life for granted. It's just assumed we'll get up the next morning and go about our normal routine. Life is a gift from God. And I've learned through watching some of you even recently, life isn't guaranteed. And some things are extremely difficult. That's why Scripture says this, James in James 4:13-15. Come now, you who say tomorrow, or today or tomorrow we shall go and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. We are dependent on God for the very air that we breathe. And I've heard some of you, Martha especially, say when you wake up, you thank the Lord for a new day. That's the way we ought to live life, recognizing that it's a gift from God, and then ask him, what do you want me to do today with this gift you've given me? And we depend on him for our peace. Peace in this society, in this culture, is a precious commodity. Peace is priceless, really. But we need to recognize that true peace only comes from the Prince of Peace. And that's found in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:6-7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Philippians 4:6-7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And this comes to mind so many times. There's a peace in my heart that the world never gave, a peace that cannot take away. Though the trials of life may surround like a cloud, I have a peace that has come here to stay. Depend on God for peace. And you know what's ironic? If you depend on him, you'll have freedom from unnecessary worries. Practicing that one still. Our dependence is also in him for him to be with us. While many people would probably not readily admit it, most people do not want to be alone, at least most of the time. Human beings desire company. I like company. I also like my freedom and be by myself, but most times I like company. I'm sure you've all, I would assume all of us have been at the place where you feel like I'm all alone. Everyone's against me. I don't have any friends. No one likes me. I'm not saying those feelings are accurate, but you know what I'm saying. We sometimes have those emotional times where we feel that way. We have tough days. But the sad fact is, there really and truly are people that are completely alone. No one is supporting them. They don't have any friends, and they might not even have family. That is being alone, and I can't imagine what that might be like. But even in our darkest days, we have the promise that God, and many promises, that God will not leave us. Even when we feel like everyone has forsaken us, God has not. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And that was just two of many, many, many scriptures and promises that God will be with us. There's this big word that theologians use that I don't use too much just because I don't like to use big words. Maybe I don't know many big words. I'm not sure. But the word is omnipresent. It means that God is everywhere all the time. And our little heads, we can't wrap our heads around that. How in the world is God everywhere all the time? So while he's right here with me in Welsh Run right now, he's also with General So in China, or whoever his name is. How do we understand that? How can we can't. But I read the words to a hymn a little bit ago, there's a peace in my heart that the world never gave. Well, the chorus says this, constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine, he never leaves me lonely. Whispers, oh so kind, I will never leave thee. Jesus is mine. Isn't that awesome? There are people, and I promise you it will happen. If it hasn't already, just wait. They are going to fail you when it comes to supporting you. But rest assured, you can depend on our Father to be with you always. Then we also depend on him to provide what we need. Now bear in mind, I said provide what we need, not what we want. God has never promised to provide what we want. And that's where many people go wrong. They think they should have whatever they want and expect that, yeah, their needs are much greater than what they really are. Matthew 6:25, and then the verses following. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not your life more than food and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, and we just saw that this past month. It was in the oven, now it's green again. God took care of it. Are we not much more value than the grass? And tomorrow's clothes thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I could spend a lot of time discussing what's the difference between wants and needs and why some poor people in foreign countries are starving because obviously they need more than what they have. But the simple fact is this, God provides for us, and he provides for us because he created the world, he created everything in it, he created us, and he created us with abilities to work and get what we need. God will take care of us, and he will provide for us because he created us. We depend on him for provision. And just so you know, we don't depend on the government to provide for us. We depend on God. We depend on our Heavenly Father for victory in the end. And as we've said several times, we just got done with VBS and studying the soldier's armor, Christian's armor. We are in a war with Satan, make no mistake. It's intense at times, and we all know that. And the darkness sometimes gets pretty thick. But we have this promise in Romans 8, 35 to 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I love using the saying, I've read the back of the book and I know what comes. Well, I've read the back of the book and we win. Through Jesus we're promised victory. And that's because, and all because of all of this, we're also dependent on him for the greatest reward of all, and that is eternal life. There are two ultimate rewards awaiting every person, every human being. It's eternal death if you haven't accepted and depended on Christ for salvation. And I just don't understand why anyone would choose that path. But the beauty of depending on Jesus for salvation is that he will reward us with eternal life with him in heaven. John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment but has passed from death into life. John 3:16, and you could quote this, I'm sure. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't want to miss it. I want to stay faithful. I want to be dependent on Jesus for my guidance, for my strength, for everything in life, so I can spend eternity with him. I hope this sermon, I know it was somewhat different, and honestly, the title was probably a little bit corny, but like I said, I like to put titles up that catch people's attention, and hopefully they watch it or listen to it. But maybe when you celebrate Independence Day, it'll spark you to remember, I'm not independent, I'm dependent on Jesus Christ, and I better not try to live independent from him. So, happy Dependence Day. Let's bow for prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the freedoms you have given us, the freedoms through you, and would you help each one of us to recognize anew and afresh that we are so totally dependent on you for everything that we are and everything that we plan to be. And can we lean on you for our guidance and direction from day to day? We thank you and praise you. Would you bless each person here and those watching and just fill them with a sense of your blessing that you can guide them and help us, Lord, to put you first in our life. In your name, amen. Just remain seated for a moment while I shut this down. So for several months, you've seen the